Okay, everybody can have a seat. Yeah, this week was kind of an odd week, and I hope everybody had a good week. I was praying about what I was supposed to speak about, and sometimes things are laid on my heart, and sometimes it's by observation. And I noticed a recurring theme for this week: boundaries, limits, lines in the sand. I think what we talked about earlier is a line in the sand. It's hard, though, to have boundaries. Like at work, a lot of stuff going on, and it's sometimes you end up getting drawn into things that aren't really yours, but somehow, some way, you end up into them. And some people think about boundaries and limits as being bad stuff. It's always bad. No, not really. In some circumstances, boundaries, very good things. It's good to have a limit on what you get involved with. This one particularly got me. My friend Shane and I, there's no telling how many times we've seen Jaws. And I'm still scarred by sharks to this day. And so I had to include that one. But boundaries are something that the Bible talks about, boundaries. And God's Word has a lot of... Well, first, boundaries aren't an excuse to throw away your responsibilities. Like I was talking with Braden about it yesterday, and I said, you know, a boundary ain't exactly... doesn't mean that you can say, well, I'm not doing my homework. That's a limit to it. And I'm drawing that line in the sand because that will get you beaten down and grounded. And we quickly understood that. Gave you a plug. Which we don't have to worry about that with him. He's good. He's a pretty good fella. But you do have... It's okay to say, I've got all I can handle right now. One of the people I work with is just this amazing lady. She is just so generous, so smart, always willing to help. But she's putting 60 and 70 hours in a week on the job that she's being paid for 40. As a general rule, she's wearing herself out. She is just tiring herself, just limping, health problems. And her heart's in the right place, but it's hard for her to let go. And one of the people in the Bible had a similar issue. Oh, this was something as far as some of the health benefits of setting boundaries. And my coworker could really use some of this. Because when we get so drawn into things, our bodies are going to do something with that stress. It just doesn't go away. Whether it affects our relationships, our self-image, because I can't get all this done. You weren't meant to get all of it done. And Moses had the same problem. Now, this part of Exodus, they were out in the desert. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit. And Moses, what he found was that Moses was being sitting in judgment all day, listening to people complain. And I know none of y'all have to worry about people complaining, do you, at your jobs? And he was up there with a whole bunch of people that were bringing everything to him, every issue, and wanting his wisdom from him to go to God and see who's right, who's wrong. And he was just wearing out. And Jethro asked him, why are you doing this, Moses? Well, I have to go to the people for God. I got to. Anybody feel like Moses, that when you wake up, you put your feet on the ground and you don't stop till you go back to sleep? Anybody having that feeling? Ever had it? I've had it before. And it doesn't seem like you're making any headway with it. But you keep on doing it. And if you don't do it, who will? I've been there. Whenever I worked at the bedside, I worked in a lot of units that didn't have any support people. It was just nurses. And you had to take care of basically about everything. And I went to a unit. They actually had some support people, and I didn't use them. And the techs thought I didn't like them, but I didn't know how to use them. I think part of it, I didn't know any better. And a little part of it, if I'm honest, was pride. And I'm wondering if Moses had a little touch of that. That he was the only one that could take care of it. That nobody else could. And over time in my situation, I got to learn that those folks were there to help. And they got to realize that I just didn't know how to use them. It wasn't that I didn't want to. And Jethro told him, you know, what you're doing is not good. You're going to wear out, and it's not good for the people either. And I'm going to give you some advice. Train others to help you. Help them divide up these judges. I think it's like thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Make them. And then they'll handle the minor disputes. They'll bring it up and up and up, and then they'll bring it to you, all the major stuff. Has anyone had to be a Jethro? Someone that you love or someone that you like, and you see them run themselves to death? And how many of you have been Moses? I've been the Moses part before, where I've been running myself to death, and somebody would tell me, why are you doing it like that? They may not say it that nice, but, you know, there's a better way of doing this. Moses listened to him, and he tried it. And what happened is that the modern court system, if you think about our court system in the United States today, is local, it's district, is state, is federal. This is the modern court system, and I think, I don't know, but I think this is the birth of it. This is the first time I remember hearing about it. And sometimes it's hard to remember that life goes in two speeds. There's a sprint, and sometimes you have to just go so fast, and you are just fighting so hard. It is just like you are the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and it's starting to rain. You're just fighting like that. And then other times, it's a marathon that you have to go really slow, and you have to pace yourself. And Moses was trying to go like he was running a race, and he should have been in a marathon. And there have been times I've had my pride interfere with things where I'm trying to do everything, and I can't. And when pride's involved, sin gets involved, the enemy gets involved. And before you know it, you've created an opening. And that's all he needs, just a little tiny opening. And that feeling of being overwhelmed, it leads to other things. There are healthy ways to deal with stress, and there's unhealthy ways. And the unhealthy ways, drugs, alcohol, gambling, shopping, you name it, whenever it's out of control, it's a segue to having bad things happen. And God sends people to work with us in our lives. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God makes people to help us. Sometimes these people don't act on it, but they're given this ability to help us. We aren't meant to be alone. Romans 12, verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. We each have our own thing. And sometimes you may be stressing yourself trying to do things that you weren't really meant to do. Like when I come up with a sermon and I make it all out, I couldn't pick a song if my life depended on it. My musical tastes run differently. And even now, they run a little different. And I have an other half, and I have a son that have an ear for music. I don't. I don't whatsoever. Not that type of music, and I still couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if I tried. So I've given up a little bit of my pride, and there are people that can help me. Like when the computer won't work, there are times I've had to ask Bill about it, There are times I've had to reach out to other people. Just all part of it. I know I have my limits with that. Sometimes you have to set a limit for other things. And this I thought was a really nice thing. We often believe God's denying us good things when in reality he's protecting us from evil. These limits are keep us out of trouble as well. God also wants us to create limits when it's in violation of what he believes. Background on this is that the country of Israel, kingdom of Israel, is gone. It was wiped out completely by the Babylonians. What they did, they took the best and the brightest of every country, carried them back to Babylon. They indoctrinated them. They basically turned them into Babylonians and then used them in the king's service. Daniel and four of his friends were among the Jews that were sent back to Babylon. One of the things they did, it wasn't just Babylonian knowledge. They put them in Babylonian culture, what they ate, how they dressed. And for the Israelites, diet is a very special thing. They received their diet in Leviticus. It was from it was laid out by God. So when they tried to give them this diet, Daniel and his friends said no. And it's not like what it is today where you have these kids that are vegans and all this stuff. You're refusing the king of the largest empire in the world at this time. And in their methods of indoctrination, he could have been killed just as a sign of insolence. But he set that limit for God because in God's eyes, he wasn't supposed to do that. He stood up, which I thought was amazing. Whenever I saw this story as a child, I didn't really understand the significance of it. He could have been put to death, him and all three and the three of his friends. But he stood up, and then God intervened, and they had a test. Give us just vegetables and water for 10 days, and then let everybody else have have their normal diet. Into the 10 days, they were a lot better. They were healthier, smarter. He stood up, could have been killed because of what he believed in with God. That's something really, you think about it. How many people today would actually stand up and say, I can't do this under the threat of death because this is what my God tells me not to do? He set a limit. He set a boundary. And God blessed him. God blessed him and his friends. They became counsel to the king. God granted them wisdom, granted them knowledge. And within a year or so, they were some of Nebuchadnezzar's, the king's, top advisors. There are oftentimes limits that we need to set upon ourselves for other reasons. Because God gives us free will. Paul wrote about it in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this is what he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sometimes our free will, combined with this world, can get us into some trouble. And Paul writes about this in Galatians, later on in Galatians as well. And we're called to freedom. God gives us the ability to make decisions at every level. And these decisions can, when you have a sin nature, can make life a lot harder, and we're all born with it. I am, you are, we all are. And most of us, we go to work, we go to school, we come into contact with different people of the opposite sex, we drive by bars on the way to work, on the way home from work. We got the ability to make a lot of bad decisions. And sometimes we have to set those limits on ourselves. to try, that we know there's that line that we can't cross. The bad thing about it is that we have two things we walk by, the flesh and the spirit, and they're in constant competition with each other. And it's a push and a pull. If one gains ground, the other one loses ground. And even after you have been saved and you are sanctified, you still have that struggle. So we have to be aware, especially in this day and time, of setting limits on ourselves. And it's hard because you risk. When the fellows ask, hey, you want to go out afterwards? You know, you risk getting mocked when you say no. And no one likes to feel different. We all like to feel part of something. And you think about modern people, both sexes, advertisements, television shows. We're all bombarded with all these thoughts and all these images. And it's so easy to act on them in this day and time. And that makes a limit that much more important. Because Paul tells us, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry the desire of the flesh. It is not that easy. It's a day-to-day struggle. It is a day-to-day struggle, and we all have it. And this law down here that Paul was talking about, I was confused by that. And I looked it up in the commentary, and the flesh and the law are basically equal in this. That sin nature and the law under this term are basically the same thing. That where if you have more of the Spirit, you're going to have less need of that law. Because the law itself is trying to keep the flesh in the check. And it can't do it. But the Spirit, giving your heart over to Jesus, saying, I'm a sinner. And Lord, come into my life. Give me the peace as you have it, now as this world knows it. That is what keeps that sin nature at bay. What we fight against and what the flesh makes us, immorality, impurity, sensuality, I'm not going to read through all of them, but it's a lot of bad stuff. What the Spirit produces, though, matches and beats all of that. For every bad thing, there's a good thing. And the fruits of the Spirit, they make that. But those fruits are only possible if we set these limits on ourselves. Because any person is capable, and I mean any person is capable of, if we don't have our own internal limits in place, wrecking their life and wrecking the lives of people around them, and that's anybody. That is me, as sure as I'm standing up here. If I act like an idiot, I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm going to hurt everybody else around me. And that's with anyone. And with free will, that's always a potential. So those internal limits are so important. And you wouldn't ignore a one-way sign on a highway. Because it's telling you, don't go down this road, even though I have went down a one-way street. Thankfully, I was by myself, and it was in Greenwood, and I was coming home from work. But those of you that have ridden with me would not be surprised by that statement. But I was trying to find a good song on the radio, but that's beside the point. But we wouldn't ignore that one-way sign. We wouldn't ignore the double yellow line. Those are limits. We don't need to ignore the spiritual limits as well. If you have that feeling, I don't need to do this, don't do it. If you have that feeling, I need to stand up and do this, then do it. Daniel stood up. He stood up for his God and for himself. He did what was right in God's eyes. Moses overwhelmed. And part of it was he didn't know how to do it, and part of it he didn't want to take his hands off of it. And we've all been there. But he needed to establish a limit or he was going to burn himself up. Sometimes God puts people in our lives, like his father-in-law said, man, you got to find some other way to do this. You're going to burn out. Paul warns us about our own limits, our own internal limits here, that we need to make our internal limits to help keep our lives in balance. And God will help us put our road signs up on our own journeys. And maybe there's somebody this morning that you're dealing with a limit issue. You're trying to do too much. Or maybe there's an image at work, or maybe there's something at work or at school where somebody's trying to lead you down a bad path. Maybe somebody is trying to make you decide between your faith or so-called friendship. In a couple minutes, we're going to have the songs start and these altars are going to be open. And if you are having that issue, or maybe there's some internal that you're wrestling with, pray. Pray from your chair. Pray at these altars. The altars are open. Our house is a house of prayer. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer works in this life. Whether it's an external or internal issue, prayer works. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and then we'll say our prayer, and then we'll open up the altars. Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you as flawed individuals. We were born with a sin nature. We were born into a fallen world. This world wants to reject you. This world wants to reject those that follow you. Father, give us the courage to say the words and do the things we need to say and do. Father, give us the words to say, whether it's no, this is wrong, or yes, this is right. Father, give us the self-control that we need when we are tempted, when we don't know how to deal with things. Father, lead us and guide us. Help us to never forget that you are here. Even though this world tries to make us think that you don't exist or you're far away, you're always here. You're here with us, and help us to never forget that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the altars are open.